Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Rick Pedersen. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father God, this is a message that you put for the purpose for all to hear, but more importantly for them to have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the mind to absorb, and bring and truly understand the glory, the love that you are delivering to us as the new covenant. We pray this in your name. Amen. So what I'm going to talk about today is help you understand being a Christian does not mean you're in prison. Let me repeat that. Being a Christian does not mean you're in prison. And where did that come from? It was interesting that when I start preparing for this message, it shows how I love how God works in my life, at least as a teacher, is he gives me a chance to experience him and participate in the message. So once the Holy Spirit gave me this topic, in the course of 3 days, I had three different encounters with people. One was with a D-church person. And the definition of D-church is someone who had come to church for quite a while, but it just wasn't giving them and delivering what they wanted. And they started questioning, am I really a Christian? Should I be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? I'm just not getting what I want here, being a Christian. The second one was a religious person. It was from a mainstream denomination, and so they based everything they were around being a Christian from that. And the third one was an atheist. And what I found was is that during the course of this conversation with all three of them, the questions they started asking me all came to a conclusion at the end that being a Christian means I'm in prison. I'm in prison, I'm in bondage, which I found interesting. Now, the other interesting part of that is that the first person never knew me before. It was a one-time, first-time meeting. The religious person has known me for about 10 years, and the atheist has known me my whole life. And so we were having conversations until they understood or discovered that I was a pastor, and then the whole conversation changed. They kind of straightened up. How am I supposed to behave? It was really what it was. Now, I have to say, as the person who knew me for 10 years, the person who knew all my life, they couldn't really, their first words were, you're a pastor? Did they change the rules to let you in, or what? Yeah, they couldn't believe it. But what I'm getting to the point is that the person who was the D-church person, their challenge came down to be is that going to church left me unfilled. I was searching for something, but when I measure what I'm doing in life against what I think I'm supposed to be doing, it's not working. I feel like I'm missing something. And that's where I get to the imprisoned or the bondage. They just felt like they couldn't live up to what the expectations was. But it's also going to a lack of understanding, because one of the questions that this person asked me, which was interesting, was, can you or should I take the entire Bible literally? And the answer, of course, is no, because it's the living word. If you take it literally, then you have to stay and completely understand, and it never changes. It changes as you become more intimate with the Word, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus and God. Now, there's certain components of that, yes. The other question he asked me was, I'm really struggling with how science is in contradiction to the Word, which is not true. We're finding more and more today that science is proving Scripture as true. But the point I want to make is that his vision of being a Christian was actually handcuffing, shackling him. This other person that was a religious person. Of course, same thing happened when he discovered that he was told that I'm a pastor. And part of it was I really am happy for you. I still don't understand how you can make the transition from being in the business world to this. What does that mean? Because in the business world, you can't be a Christian. And what his number one question to me was this: if being a Christian is this, how can Donald Trump be supported by Christians? Brought the political side of it right into it. He's trying to make this determination. Which I always thought was, well, very interesting. Why would that be a barrier to you of maybe you being a Christian? And what he was saying was that I don't know how I'm supposed to believe or what I'm to believe or how vocal I can be. Now, I let him in on a little secret, as I told First Services. When I had my business, I worked directly with about 80 CEOs. That was part of ours. We went into a company. We helped them form new strategies, deliver to market. So I got very intimate with CEOs of all different size companies, up to multinationals. And here's the thing I said is that you have to learn is that what Donald Trump does is no different than any other CEO in the world. That's the business world. He's just a little more vocal on the public side, but they all operate the same. So you can't use that as a benchmark of saying, if you're a Christian, you can't support this person. It's irrelevant. What you have to say is where am I at? What am I doing? Now, what I'm trying to say is that when we bring in something that is outside of control, you completely then put that measurement on you, and it's the false way of doing it. Whether Donald Trump is supported by Christians, whether he's a Christian, shouldn't change who you are. Shouldn't change how you classify yourself. Because what he was really saying is, I can't really tell the world that I'm a Christian if I support Donald Trump. Now you're allowing man to dictate who you are. But then it went on to all the questions of, do I sin? How come I sin? What does that mean? And it came down to, I feel like I'm in prison if I really can operate my faith. The atheist is, as I said, someone who's known me my whole life. And I hadn't seen this person for a couple years, so they had no idea the transition I made. So when, naturally in that conversation, asked, what are you doing now? I said, well, actually I've become a pastor. Speechless for a few minutes. Because it was my brother. So who knew me? My younger brother, who I got to dominate over. Had a really, really hard time seeing me as a pastor. His wife said, well, of course you are. Which I found interesting from that. But the whole conversation, of course, went political again. But then during that, he grew up the same as I did in a mainstream denomination. Went through catechism, confirmation. And when he went out on his own is when he decided to leave the church. So he talked about that, and I asked him, and his response was, I couldn't live up to the expectations that the church put on me. And actually, when I decided to leave the church, I never felt so much freedom. That's a pretty sad statement. And actually, I've heard a lot of people say that. If you remember a couple weeks ago, there was some prominent worship leader and a pastor who said that I'm questioning my faith or I'm leaving the faith, and they said the same thing. I've never experienced so much freedom. Here's the common denominator across all three conversations. You know what it was? All three of them had no understanding of how the Holy Spirit operates in them, why we have the Holy Spirit. They were trying to live up to expectations of laws and rules within a doctrine, a religion, or a personal belief system. Well, what I wanted to talk to you today about is the complete opposite of the new covenant and the intention of the new covenant. We've been talking a lot about living free, and I don't take it by coincidence that all of a sudden I'm getting this about being a Christian means more about being shackled than it is being free. I want to release today, hopefully you'll see that understanding so that you can walk in the freedom that was intended in the new covenant. I want to start with a scripture in John 20, 21, 22. So Jesus said to them again, now this is right after Jesus was resurrected and he's meeting with the disciples. This is where they're checking out his, you know, nails, holes, making sure that he's still who he says he is. And this is John's interpretation of that moment. It's interesting, he said, so Jesus said to them again. How many of you have heard certain things we didn't quite grasp it the first time? Perfectly normal. Part of being in bondage is we think we hear something, we're supposed to learn how to apply it instantly and perfectly. I know I'm the only one that kind of stumbles there, so I'm giving you permission to stumble. But he says, peace be with you. That's the definition of Jesus' peace. And it's very simple this. The world will continue to be chaotic. The world will continue to be confusing. The world will continue that you don't completely understand it. The world won't be perfect, but you still have peace about it because you know Jesus has a hold of you. That's what he's talking about. Then it goes on to say, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. That means that you are going to be doing something, that he's already given you the preparation to do that. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about before when I mentioned everyone in that conversation, those five individuals. We've all heard the word Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, right? Have you truly received it? So if you're ever around me, I'm going to keep repeating this until the end times or everyone gets it. All of you are filled with the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you haven't truly receive the Holy Spirit until you move to the dwelling or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit has command and control of your mind, will, and emotions, your inner spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about here. What we have to come to grip is that we are human, but more importantly, we are driven, we are produced, we are gifted with the anointing of the Trinity to allow us to walk in this time as never before, with the power, the authority, the love, the wisdom that we have in us that we are now to take out to the world. So how do we do that? We'll go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. I want you to pay very attention because this is a very powerful scripture. This is Paul writing this, and he wants us to understand how to walk in the fullness of the new covenant. So the first sentence is like a real awakening. So all of us who have had the veil removed, think about that. So all of us who have had the veil removed, goes back to what I was saying, is the difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in and dwelling in the Holy Spirit. The veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. Very important, to see and reflect. So what Paul is helping us understand is that as new creation, we live in the new covenant time. We have this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that opens up to us so that we can see the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in their enormity and all the components of that. So we can see it, but the most powerful word there is reflect. Anybody ever think about how a mirror works? I didn't until I started studying this. I just thought, okay, it's a mirror. Here's what a mirror has to have. A mirror has to absorb who you are completely before it can reflect who you are. Repeat that. A mirror has to absorb who you are before it can reflect who you are. That's what God intended in the new covenant. To not only see, but fully absorb who they are so that we can then reflect it back to the world and ourselves. At least that was a great awakening for me. Sometimes I just see, okay, I got to go on a plan here versus that component. Because here's what we miss with the new covenant. I'm going to let a little secret. The new covenant has the Trinity in it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I caught myself when I started having this revelation of focusing on one or two of them only and not all three. What does it mean, all three of them? And it goes to, in part of what we teach in gifting class of the Great Commission, part of the Great Commission is a scripture in Matthew that says to be baptized. And the word baptized used in that scripture is to fully immerse yourself in, fully immerse yourself in that. And it says, into the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus was teaching to a Jewish audience during that time. And in the Jewish culture, when you say in the name of someone, that is the directive to go and study completely who that person is, what that name represents, their lineage, and their purpose within the tribe of Israel that they are part of. It is to go in great depth and understanding so that you can know what that person brings. Part of this is of going through this process of that reflection is the same thing. And this got to me, and I've been on a study that of the new covenant for a little bit here. Has anybody got tired of me talking about the new covenant yet? Too bad, I'm going to keep going. And started going to understanding this Trinity is part of the new covenant like I've never seen before. And I was directed to a couple different authors who have spent extensive time studying the Trinity within the new covenant. And how they referenced the Trinity in relation to us was the term dance. Now, I had a really hard time trying to comprehend that because I have three left feet, no rhythm, and can't reflect anything that comes from that component. If I'm on the dance floor, if my wife convinces me to dance, I will guarantee I'll clear out about a 10-foot space because I will step on, walk over, and tackle anybody who's close to me. I'm not gifted to be in that realm. But the dance, as I come to understand and start studying that, is a very romantic, systemic, collaborative engagement between two or more people. Line dance is where the two or more come in. But what I found was is that as you're going through the dance, is every move, every interaction has to be done with anticipation and reaction to what the person that you're dancing with. And it has to be done in such a seamless way that it just flows and looks beautiful, right? How many are dancers who know how to dance here? Okay. Did I describe that right? So my three left feet doesn't cause that to happen. What they're trying to demonstrate using the term dance is that this interaction between the Trinity and us. that we can flow and we can walk in this beautiful demonstration of power, authority, but love also, and bring them together. Now, as I went also to study this, come to understand is that the new covenant has another element to it. The new covenant was designed for us to be participatory, meaning we have to be active within it. What I'm trying to point out is that we take Christianity, we take our faith, and we do it okay here in this room. And we get outside of this and we do all right. Completely missing what God intended as part of having to walk in this dance with them. Have you ever thought about that when you're at a sporting event? Baseball, football, or the real sport, soccer? That's part of walking with the Trinity, participating, enjoying it. Being on a picnic. Being on a nature walk. Riding in a truck with Lance. Anybody rode in a truck with Lance, you know what I mean. That's an experience. He drives like he talks. What we do is we try to bring our spirituality down to a focus so that we don't sin versus opening it up so we can experience and participate in the entire thing that happens in this world. Getting up in the morning can be an experience, right? I've started practicing that is when I wake up, what's the first thing I do? Yes, I've had that happen. Me being a little bit of a structured, strategic, is the first thing when I woke up was started going through what I have to accomplish for the day. That didn't bring great joy at times. Versus now I walk up and wake up and say, good morning, Father. Lord Jesus, how are you today? Holy Spirit, what are we going to do? I'm experiencing and wanting them to participate with me. That's the difference between living in the bondage of my task versus living in the freedom of what is given to me. So how do we get to that point? Glad you asked. And Isaiah is part of the answer. Isaiah 11, 1 to 2 says this. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. What is speaking there is, of course, Jesus. So this is saying Jesus in the incarnation of Jesus in man form is going to have this upon him. What I have upon him is the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. An easy definition of the fear of the Lord is that you desire so much to walk in the image that you are to serve God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That becomes captivating to you. The reason we have that is to walk in freedom, not in bondage. The reason I bring that up is that every single one of you carry what that scripture said. Did you know that? Okay, if you know it, then how come you don't use it? without using that, I'll guarantee you, you'll start walking and feeling like your spirit life is your bondage versus your freedom. In order to do that, you have to take a whole different mindset. And you've heard us use this term throughout the history of this church. And we didn't use it as much lately as we got to go back to it. Is you have a choice of how you live your life. And I said, remember, live your life versus living your faith. This is how you live your life. You have a choice of I can live it as spirit, sin conscious, meaning all I think about is how do I not sin? Am I sinning? What do I prevent? What do I stop doing so I don't sin versus spirit conscious? Spirit conscious means is that you're walking and you know you have what I just went through. You know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know that you are here with a purpose to make an impact, change the world. Here's what I can guarantee you. If you focus on sin consciousness, meaning I'm all going to focus on sinning, you'll naturally sin because that's what you're telling your mind to do. Versus being spirit conscious is you're going to focus on what am I doing? How am I in the dance with the Trinity? And the outcome of that is you forgot all about sinning. Now, let me let you a little secret. Will you stumble? Will you sin? Absolutely. As I go back to is those people that knew me, they recognized me more as the poster child of sin than the poster child of the opposite. Especially my brother, he knows all my secrets. Because I taught him how to do the same to me so that I could blame him when we got caught versus me. That's what you do with little brothers, right? It goes time I remember just my brother and I were playing Cowboys and Indians. That's back before you had the internet and video games. We had to self-entertain ourselves. So we watched this movie where someone was staked out, a cowboy, and the Indian would throw spears and see how close it got to them. So I convinced my brother to be the cowboy. And I come really close. Last one went right into his cheek. Found out that wasn't, we had to come up with a different game. So it gives you an indication of how my brother and I had this relationship. What I'm getting at is that that story was completely irrelevant to the message. It was just something that came to me. Is how we live our life. The new covenant is designed to be a lifestyle, not a life conformed to. What I mean by that is when you try to conform to that, you're going to be the one making the decisions through your flesh. Let's go to John 14, verse 26. This is so important. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. This is such an important scripture to grab a hold of and internalize. The Holy Spirit, we know, is our comforter, our counselor, right? That's where I'm going to teach you all things. That's the power of the Holy Spirit that we don't have if you... People don't see that, don't have. Most important is the last half of that scripture, and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. When you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to you in words, feelings, visions, miracles, right? Right? That is part of how the Lord speaks to you. I'm going to get a little into some analogy now is how powerful that means into your remembrance. As a human form, we all know we have a mind, right? We have a brain and a mind. Within that, we have what's called the subconscious mind and the conscious mind. And I'm not going to go into great detail because I'll be here forever because I love this topic. And Amber will be here to correct me what I say wrong. Our subconscious mind is designed like a database. So everything that comes into us of our five senses is stored in the database in our subconscious mind. Our conscious mind is really designed to where it controls all the functions of the physiology of our body, the anatomy. So it's releasing all these components that happen to make us breathe, walk, talk, all those elements. But it's also a big part of that is where the decision-making process happens. What I mean by that is that if we come up to a point where we have to make a decision, we have to react. There's two things that happen. Our five senses are pulling in everything that's happening with us right then and right there. The subconscious mind then delivers to our conscious mind every experience we had related to this decision, to this input. Soul, the mind, will, and emotions are part of our flesh. Our mind, for some reason in the natural, will pull up everything that we did wrong. And it'll attach it to the situation, and it'll say, don't do this. Now, in the instance of, for me, you know, when I was a child, I can remember my mom saying, don't touch that burner, it's hot. So finally, after the third time, I come, okay, that registered. I had to keep testing the system. If I touch it with my right hand, will it burn as much as I touch it with my left hand? If I lick my finger and touch it, will it hurt the same? Maybe I'm the only one that did that. It's the rule thing. I can't, you know. But that's a good thing. Here's where our mind is against us. When someone comes and says, you did this wrong, you sinned, you're not worthy of this, you shouldn't do that. Input, bring together all the things that people told us you didn't believe, you didn't follow through, you didn't do this right, and that becomes how we go about that. The new covenant with the Holy Spirit, Jesus and God changed the rules of how our body works. You can allow the mind to pull the memory recall, or as it says, you can allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth the remembrance of how Jesus sees you, of how God sees you, how he created you. Difference between walking in bondage and in prison versus walking in freedom. Now those happen in microseconds, and there's a lot more to that, but it goes to the point of allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of your soul. I want to go to John 14, 16, and this is the Passion Translation, which I think really has a great determination of this. And it says, I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he'll never leave you. But here's the one I want you to really focus on. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. And that's going to reference. How many of you have been around a person and you talk about the Holy Spirit led you, or you had this, hear the Holy Spirit, felt the Holy Spirit, and you recited it, told it, and they're going like, I don't understand where that came from. That can't happen. Let you know a little component here. Even though a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't allow the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, they can't see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working in them, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. That's why sometimes Christians come against what you say, hear, feel, because they don't have that ability, let alone someone who's not saved. What I want you to be encouraged about is that just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean that they have the same ability as you have as you walk through your maturity. Because you have to decide, is that what I'm feeling inside of me by the Holy Spirit, is that true? Or what someone told me wasn't true, which one do I believe? Point I'm making is, when you know the Holy Spirit and you walk in that and you believe that, now you're walking in freedom. The other way, you've automatically built up a bondage. You're in prison because of that. Because here's the thing you have to come and understand. When you became a saint, and what Jesus was talking about, the term ecclesia, he's calling his church the ecclesia, the opening component of the definition of ecclesia is what? This is a test and a quiz. It's this: a people set apart. A people set apart. Do you consider yourself set apart? If you're going to function in freedom, you have to see yourself as that image of the Trinity, and I am set apart from others who don't see it. It doesn't make you a better person. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to create that comparison. What I'm trying to do is increase your belief of who you are in Christ. Well, some people, that's not humility. Yeah. Humility is this. It's not thinking more about you. It's thinking more about who you are. That's why sometimes the whole sin component comes to that, is so important of this. You've got to grasp this. You've got to say, I am a new covenant saint who has the ability to go out and change wherever I set my foot. Everyone believe that? That's why I thought only a couple hands. You have to go and say, I have all of the Trinity in me for the purpose of going out and making a difference, to make a change. That's why we use the term culture runs deep. It's understanding that. Because what I'm trying to get to understand is this. More and more, and Pastor Aaron and I have talked about this the last couple of weeks, and every time we get together, even this morning, we're supposed to get together and pray about the service, and we get on this topic and get pulled into it. So I'll give us equal blame. But we both have been sensing that in a prophetic realm. Pastor Aaron's been talking about this a while, and I have the same thing. There's something changing in the spirit realm, in the church realm, that has never happened before. Never happened before. And yes, there's more mystery being revealed, but here's how I see it. It's not just new mystery, new revelation. It's deeper than we've ever had access to. We're in a time, you live in a time that you are going to be able to make a bigger impact on society, on people, than you ever had before. That's what we have to walk with. And I'm going to finish this real quick with Galatians 5. And I talked about this, of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is another key to go along with what we talked about of the Spirit, that of that of understanding, authority, etc. I talked about in Isaiah. This is the other element to give you this ability. And it's in Galatians we find it. And it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Goes back to what I was talking about before, conscious, subconscious mind. Your mind, will, and emotions, what we call the soul, is part of your flesh. You have to determine and decide, am I going to allow the Holy Spirit in my inner spirit have control of my soul, or is my soul going to control who I am? This is spirit conscious, this one's sin conscious. And a lot of times we are taught in church that soul is part of who we are spiritually, Yes, but we aren't taught and given the revelation that you have this choice. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit takes control of your mind, will, and emotions. Now, I'm probably the only one that's had my mind, will, and emotions lead me astray. So I know what I wanted to use is to experience that so you know when your soul has control of you. What I'm getting at is how, and I'm going to close with this, how do you know when the soul has control of you? When you're in that decision-making process, that thought process, situation that I have confronting me that doesn't look good, as soon as you start predetermining the outcome you desire, you've now given permission for your soul to determine what you do versus asking the Holy Spirit and following the immediate obedience of the Holy Spirit. A quick example of that is we have a vehicle that we had to replace. Really didn't have the money to go out and make a purchase. And when we're going through this process, I heard the Holy Spirit say very clear to me is walk through the process, complete the activities. My nature of, okay, I'll do it for the next 3 seconds and then we'll make a decision. Here's what happened is I dislike talking to car salesmen and driving vehicles almost as much as I hate cutting grass. But I went through that. So my wife and I, over the course of 3 weeks, test drove 16 different vehicles. And I was really trying to have a smile. Going through the activities, had a person from church who loves negotiating with car salespeople. They just love it. Bless their heart. Came to me and said, I hear you're looking for a vehicle. Would you mind I help you? Sure. I had to fight the control component here. Don't get me wrong. I mean, long story short is they went and started calling around, and they found the vehicle that we decided we want at a location in Racine. Now, I didn't want to go to Racine to pick it up. That's predetermined. Not only was it the vehicle we liked, but it had an extra trim package, meaning upgraded in all the bells and whistles. I got heated seats now. I said, if you're willing to go to Racine and pick it up, I got this for you for $120 a month less than the base model we're going to get in Green Bay. Yeah. That is walking in the experience and participate of that. I didn't predetermine because I could have very much said, I don't want to go to Racine. I don't want this color. I don't want that. We kind of give this framework and it came out better than we thought. That's what I'm talking about is allowing that because my soul was already like, we're going to negotiate it here, get it done with. We'd be done with this in 3 days. That's the difference as an example. I want to have the ministry team call them forward. And here's what I want you to do with the ministry team today. Is if you're struggling with how to truly experience or participate with the Trinity, I want them to pray over you. And as long as I get the privilege of speaking to you, I'm going to give this to you every time that you leave church. I want you to fully embrace, to internalize, and walk out of this building with the full belief that wherever you step, no matter what happens, you're going to open up to that person, that environment, the power and authority, the love of the Trinity, and you're going to be an influencer versus be an influence. You're going to make a difference. You walk out with that whole component of ecclesia that I am here to show the people the love of the Father. The resurrected and its power and authority of Lord Jesus and the impact of the Holy Spirit. So is everybody ready to go out and change the world? You need to walk out with that understanding. Lord Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to have this time with you. Holy Spirit, impart what you want in every individual so they can go out and demonstrate what the Father intended in the new covenant so we can go and change what is happening and we can bring in the true mystery that you are revealing to us, that the spirit realm will start having more influence than it ever has before. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.